Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Again, it's great to be with you today, and good to have you out there listening. We're in our 11th year of broadcast here in the Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry, and so we're thankful to the Lord for each and every broadcast. We're thankful for all of the supporters who have helped support this radio broadcast. If you have your Bible there today, turn it to Ephesians chapter 6. And if you were with us last week, you know that we took up the pieces of the gospel armor. I'm not going to go over those again today. You can check out on the website, gathertheoutcast.com, and go to the radio archives and hear that broadcast about the pieces of the gospel armor. But today I'm going to talk about keep standing in the face of despair, in the face of the onslaught of the enemy. And we are in the end days, brother and sister. We are in the end times, and so it's going to be very difficult to keep your feet under you. It's going to be very difficult to stand firm in your place and defend your territory, just as Nehemiah did when he was building the wall in Jerusalem. He got his brethren together and they built the wall, but they faced many attacks from the enemy. And so that is going to be the hallmark of the end day as we defend the kingdom of God, as we defend our Christian faith and our salvation. You're going to come under many attacks, and the attacks are going to increase. The severity of them is going to increase. The intensity of them is going to increase, not only upon you, but upon your family, upon this nation. And the whole world is going to be under the onslaught of the enemy, and that is going to be one of the hallmarks of the end day. And so I'm going to give you this message today to encourage you, to stand firm, to encourage you, to strengthen your walk, and you will be victorious. You will be a conqueror when the enemy comes against you. Well, Ephesians 6:11, Paul is telling the church at Ephesus, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the wiles is the strategies or the plans, the schemes, the scheming of the devil. The devil is always scheming against us, and he will do everything in his power to scheme against you, to take you out, to destroy you, to destroy your family, your children, your grandchildren. And so God wants you to put on the whole armor that you may be able to stand. And to stand means that you defend your territory, that you take a stand, that you take a place, and you say, I will not be moved. I'm going to stand here. I'm going to take my place for the kingdom of God. I'm going to stand up and be counted for the kingdom of God and for my salvation and for the righteousness. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is reproach to any people. And so you take a stand for righteousness in your life. You always contend for righteousness. You contend for that which is right, that which is good. And if you don't know what is right, you need to start reading God's word. And his word will instruct you. He will give you wisdom so that you can know what is God's will for America, what is God's will for your life, what is God's will for your family. And as you come to understand God's word, then it's easy to discern what is going on here in the world, what is going on here in the media, in the politics, in the secular world, that the devil, he is the ruler over the secular world, and so he has authority over that world. And so it's easy to discern what's happening when you know God's word and when you understand God's plan for yourself and for your family. Ephesians 6:13, Paul takes up this theme of standing firm again. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And so Paul again re-emphasizes this theme of standing, stand firm. I used to be a wrestler, and when you get out into the center of that ring, you don't want to let the guy push you to the edge of the ring. You don't want to let him keep pushing you to the edge of the circle. You stand firm in the center, and not only stand firm, but when you make a plan against him, when you make an offensive plan against him, then you go after the opponent's legs. You go after him to take him down, and you stand firm for your territory, and you go and be on the offensive against the enemy. Don't continually wait for the onslaught. Don't continually wait for the attacks, but you go on the offensive. And in the spiritual realm, that means you study your Bible and you pray every day and you be in the fellowship and you join with others. And as you do that, as you do those offensive maneuvers, then you're not backing up, you're going forward. You're not circling and going sideways, you're going forward towards the enemy, and you will be able to take that enemy out of your life. Well, there's a great story in Exodus 17, if you'll turn there in your Bible, Exodus 17, and it talks about a battle that Moses was in and the children of Israel. They were coming out of Egypt, and they were battling the Amalek, and in verse 8 it says, "Now Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us some men and go out to fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill." So three men, Moses, Aaron, and Hur, went up to the top of the hill to watch this battle. In verse 11, "So it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." Well, beloved, this is a great story about battle, and what it tells us, the lesson that we can gain from this story, is that we need to be in the battle with other brethren. We need to have people with us, and the devil loves for you to get isolated. The devil loves for you to get off by yourself, and then he can start to pick you off. He can start to get you into despair and depression, and he can get you into a place where you feel like you're all alone with no one else to help you, and you're in the battle by yourself. And I say to you today, you need to make an effort. If you're in that place of isolation, and I know many of you are who are listening to me today, if you are in that place of isolation, you need to make a step, even to go to a restaurant and drink some coffee with somebody. Sit there and talk with somebody about what's going on in your life. Sit there and talk about what's happening here in the world, just to talk about current events, and get out of your house, get out and do something, get out and meet some people, find somebody to confide in. If you're in despair, if you're in depression, find somebody to confide in, find somebody you can talk to and let them know the battle that you're going through, and ask them to pray for you. If you don't have anybody in your life that can pray for you, you can email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and let me know what your needs are, and I will be happy to pray with you. I'll call you and talk to you and pray with you. But I want you to know that we all need to be in the battle with others, and there's times when our arms are going to get heavy, just like Moses. He couldn't hold his hands up any longer. He grew weary in the battle. And there was Aaron, and there was Hur, and they were holding his arms up. And when they held his arms up, then the children of Israel prevailed in the battle. And so as you have brethren to come along beside you, and people to pray with you, people to hold your arms up when the battle is intense, when you get tired, when you get weary and can't hold your arms up any longer, you need to have somebody to help you hold your arms up. You need to have somebody help you to speak words of encouragement to you, and you need to have somebody to help you to pray with you and to let you know that you're not in this battle by yourself. And that's one of the great reasons, in spite of the fact that I have a radio ministry, which I dearly love to do. I love to bring these broadcasts to you. I encourage each and every one of you to be in the fellowship, to be in the fellowship of believers. Paul says in Hebrews 10:25, "And do not forsake the gathering of the saints, and so much more so as the end day draws near," or as the day of Jesus' return draws near. And he says this is the habit of some, to drop out and to not fellowship. But he says that you need to be in the gathering of the saints. You need to be in the fellowship. And it's for those very reasons, to receive encouragement. You need to be there where people can talk to you, where you can talk to people, and you can pray for them. They can pray for you. They can encourage you. You can encourage them. And there's so many good reasons to be in a fellowship. You don't receive that same kind of encouragement, that same kind of lifting up when you're listening to a radio broadcast or watching a TV broadcast. Yes, there can be an anointing and encouragement come off of those types of broadcasts. And some people can even get healed because of the anointing that comes through a broadcast. But I want you to be in the fellowship, if at all possible. Find a good Bible-believing church and be there, and ask the Lord to direct you to one, and be there each and every Sunday to receive that encouragement that He wants you to receive. Well, I'm sure many of you feel the tensions rising as well in the political battle, and the United States, of course, has just gone through a very contentious election for the president and for the offices of the land, and so this political battle is heating up. It's also a harbinger of the things yet to come in the end times. It's a harbinger of the type of intensity and the type of dissension and discourse that is going to be a significant factor in this nation. And we see this nation is pretty much divided down the middle. Half believe one way, half believe the other, half belong to one party, half belong to the other. And the civil discourse is going out the window for the most part. People are making all kinds of accusations and name-calling and backbiting and profanity and all kinds of bitterness, riots in the street. You're seeing all of this. And beloved, this is just a harbinger of things yet to come. It's going to be more intense in the future. If Jesus doesn't come back, you're going to see even greater dissension in the future. And I pray every day for this country, as I'm sure many of you do, that God would bring a sense of peace and a sense of unity here in America. And I just want you to know that this is an end-time event that is going to get more intense in the future. It's going to be more pronounced in the future. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. He came to bring peace individually, that you would know peace in your heart. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. Therefore do I give unto you, and let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. That's John 14:27. He gives us peace individually, but He did not come to bring peace on the earth until He finally comes to rule and to reign. He said, I come to bring a sword, and my sword will divide families. My sword will divide communities. My sword will divide nations. And the reason why is because His sword brings truth. And some people, even though they see truth, they cannot accept it. Even though they know truth, they cannot acknowledge it. And so Jesus said, I'm going to bring a sword, and this sword is going to divide. It's going to divide mother and daughter. It's going to divide sister and brother and father and son. And so you see, this sword is being used in America and all the countries of the earth, and it is being brought down to cut and to divide bones and the marrow and the soul and the spirit. And this cutting sword is going to cut out those who don't believe in Jesus. It's going to cut out those who don't believe in God's word and the truth of God's word. And so Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. But many people cannot accept the truth. They love their sin. They love their opinions. They love the way they do things and the way they've been accustomed to doing things. And so they cannot accept the truth. And Jesus said, in the end times, this is going to be what you will see happening. Just saying that the end time is here, and these things that He speaks about here in Matthew 24, you're seeing them come to pass right now. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And so Jesus says, if you love me, if you are a person that stands for the truth of my word, the truth of my kingdom, the truth of the gospel, if you are a person that stands for the truth of my name, Jesus Christ, the Son of Jehovah God, if you're a person that stands for that, and you stand against the enemy, and you proclaim your allegiance to this Jesus who died for you, that you are going to suffer persecution, that they will deliver you up to tribulation, and they will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And so there are many nations around the world where there's trials and tribulations, warfare, rumors of war. Kenya is having an election this coming August, and already people are speaking about bloodshed and rioting in the streets. Well, we didn't show them a very good example here in America in our election. We had rioting in the streets, people going out and burning things, smashing windows, overturning cars, all this kind of nonsense, and it's all a spirit of lawlessness. It's all a spirit of rebellion. It's a spirit in the end day where Jesus is warning us that there will be anybody that takes a stand for the kingdom, you're going to be hated. And then here in verse 10 is a key for what you see happening in the political realm here in America and in the spirit realm here in America, even to this very day. Verse 10, then many will be offended, and they will betray one another, and they will hate one another. Beloved, I beg you, I plead with you, do not be offended. Easily forgive, let go of offenses, let go of offenses when people curse you, when people revile you, when people speak evil against you, whether it's your brother, whether it's your children, whether it's somebody that you work with, whether it's somebody in your church, let go of offenses. It is going to be easy to be offended because there is so much uncivil discourse going on. People are throwing out all kinds of words, all kinds of profanity, and all kinds of words that they never would have thought of using were it not for Twitter and Facebook and some of these social media avenues. People are becoming very uncivilized in the way they speak to each other. People are becoming accustomed to lashing out at each other, calling each other names, doing things that they never would if they were looking each other in the face. And so I say to you today, be ready to let go of offenses. Do not become offended. Do not become bitter. Do not become angry when people revile you or speak against you or lay their baggage and their garbage upon you. You just let it run off of your back and you say, God bless them. God watch over them. God keep them. And may the kingdom of God come in and rule and reign in their heart. May Jesus Christ take over in their heart. And if you'll do that and not become offended, then you will not hate one another. Jesus said in verse 10 again that they will betray one another and they will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And verse 12, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Well, beloved, Jesus loves every single person on the face of the earth, even your political opponent, even those out there rioting in the streets who have no comprehension of what they're doing. They're just lashing out in an emotional display and trying to make some kind of a statement. God loves them. God cares about them. God wants them to come to know His Son, Jesus Christ, that they can come to a place of repentance and a place of salvation. And so we need to keep loving people no matter what they're doing, no matter what their political persuasion, no matter what race, no matter what culture, no matter what tribe or ethnic group they're from. We need to love them. We need to show them the love of Jesus, be ready and willing to forgive, and be ready and willing to share the hope that lies within us, that hope that Jesus Christ gives us. And when you are ready to let go of offenses and easily let go of any kind of bitterness, then you can love people no matter what they've done. You can love people no matter even if they've come against you and called you names, reviled you. Jesus said when he was hanging on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so Jesus had suffered immeasurably, suffered more than any man when they tortured him, when they nailed him to the cross. And yet even so, while he was hanging on that cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we need to take that same kind of attitude, and those that speak against us, even in our own family. I know there's a lot of bitterness separating families now because people are speaking out their mind and they're trashing each other on Facebook or Twitter. And we say in Jesus' name that the spirit of reconciliation and the spirit of compromise, the spirit of unity shall prevail in families, and the spirit of unity that comes through knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior transcends any kind of culture, any kind of tribe, any kind of race, or any kind of separation, that nothing can come between people who love the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't hate each other. We don't speak against each other. People who love the Lord Jesus, Jesus binds them together in love. And that is the attitude we need to take in the days ahead. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Well, you've seen the spirit of lawlessness unleashed in America. People were shooting police and thinking they were doing a good thing, and people were shooting each other in gangland wars, and you see cities that have been taken over by gangland warfare. And so lawlessness has definitely been released. The spirit of lawlessness is a demonic spirit that hovers over this nation. I believe it starts with the abortion of the infants. The spirit of murder and death then is ushered in and is entrenched over this nation. And so I believe that God wants to take that spirit of murder down with the reversal of Roe v. Wade. And I believe that is coming. You're going to see it come in the days ahead. But the love of many will grow cold. In verse 13, Jesus says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. And so this gospel will be preached. Gather the Outcast is going to preach this gospel, and I hope you're preaching this gospel when you speak with others, speak with your friends, speak with your neighbors, that you take the opportunity given to you, the open doors given to you, to preach the gospel, to tell the good news that Jesus saves. And if you endure to the end, you will be saved. Don't back up. Stand firm in the territory that God has given you to defend. Stand firm. Stand with your feet planted. And even, as I said before, even be ready with offensive maneuvers to go forward and to take the gospel and to take your opponent and to take him down and pin his shoulders to the mat. I'm using some metaphors here from the wrestling world, but you have the same idea here in the world with the devil, that we need to be on the offense. We need to stand firm and then go on the offense and not be backing up, not be going sideways. And we need to go and take territory from the enemy. And we need to take that territory from him and take it for the kingdom of God. And he who endures to the end shall be saved. Well, your salvation comes from your confession of faith in Jesus Christ. Your salvation comes from saying as a witness to others that Jesus Christ is my Lord, he is my Savior, he is my rock, he is my deliverer. And when you stand on that rock, when you stand on that confession, then nothing is going to separate you from the kingdom of God. Nothing can separate demons from hell below, and no circumstances here on this earth is going to separate you from God. You keep standing on that confession, and you keep believing that God is with you, and he is with you, and he will be there with you in every circumstance and in every situation. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. Again, I enjoy bringing these messages to you, but we are kept on the air by the generous donations of people just like yourself who enjoy these broadcasts. And if you've never made a donation, a contribution to keep these broadcasts on the air, I pray that you would do that today. I ask that you would pray about your part in keeping these broadcasts coming each and every week, and also pray about your part in helping with the projects over in Africa. We have a great project going, an orphanage project out in West Kenya near Mumias. We're building an orphanage home for 30 to 40 precious children. We're going to take them off the streets of Kenya and put them in a good home where they can be taught about Jesus Christ as their Lord and be given good food and drink every day. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, I pray that you would sit down and just ask the Lord how you can become a part of this great mission. And we look forward to partnering with you, and you can partner with us. And we have a book offer for those of you who've never contributed to Gather the Outcast ministry before. We have a book offer. We'll send you a book, Gather the Outcast, Reaching the Lost in Africa. And that would be your gift as a gift from this ministry for support of the activity of this ministry. Thank you again for listening. Stay tuned for contact information. Have a great week. God bless you.